Hey, Rich.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, it's take a week off. I forget how to do everything, but I think I got it. Now that you're here, I feel better about things.
Oh, that's good. I like having that effect on people. It's rare.
I was saying earlier, but I picked a heck of a week to take off on vacation between the Olympics, first Patriots preseason, the Red Sox implosion, and all of that. Let's start there. Let's start with on the field. Boy, what an ugly weekend that revealed a few flaws in this team.
Yeah, at the trade deadline, I kind of thought they shouldn't go all in. I liked what they did, bringing in a couple of relief pieces, Lucas Sims, Luis Garcia, and not really giving up any prospects of a substance to bring in a starting pitcher, because it kind of felt to me at that point like your issues are deeper than that, that you needed help at the front end of the rotation with Crawford and Houck both blowing past their career high for innings, and you know, Crawford becoming home run happy, and Houck losing a little bit of his command, a lot of his command. Kind of could see this coming with the pitching a little bit, but it's been sort of extreme because Pivetta has lost 3 miles an hour off his fastball, and Bayo has been inconsistent all year, and suddenly you look up and the Red Sox have given up the fourth most runs in the American League. They've given up a few more runs than the Oakland A's, who are a really bad baseball team. So just kind of something that feels irreparable right now. It's too bad because a lot of things went right with this team this year, but they got into a situation where the pitches they had just kind of hit a wall, and it didn't really make sense to give up the future of your team, your top prospects, which was the asking price to go out and get help for just this year, more or less.
And I know the ERA has gone up every month, and you know, some people say, well, maybe Andrew Bailey is not such a whiz out there. But I go back to what you said. A lot of these guys pitching innings that they have not pitched either before or in a while, and frankly, a talent level that wasn't great to begin with. I guess I would go more glass half full and glad that he was able to get these guys more than serviceable for about 4 months, and understandable that they would probably reach this point without some depth, and they were never going to get that from James Paxton, who spent half his career on the IL.
Right, yeah. Maybe they'll bring Rich Hill in, 44-year-old Rich Hill. Be the guy. I mean, that would be like, what, his fifth tour with the Red Sox? Be pretty interesting. But, yeah, I mean, I think it bodes well for next year. You know that Houck and Crawford are locked into the rotation going into next season. And whereas this year, Houck, I think, found out he was in the rotation 5 days before opening day. Mm. We're talking about him as the potential setup guy, somebody whose stuff may play better in the bullpen, and then there he is in the All-Star game, and now we know that he can do this. They needed more out of Bayo. Yeah, I know he's got double-digit wins, but his ERA is over five, and just has this really frustrating habit of when something goes wrong, it snowballs. He starts nibbling, or he loses his composure a little bit, and he's got to grow up a little bit more because he has the stuff and the ability to be a front-end pitcher, and I think he still will be, but they needed more from him this year, and I'd like to see over these, in the last 6 weeks or so of the season, for him to take a step forward going into next year.
Well, everybody frustrated, and nobody apparently more so than Jaron Duran, who blew up at a fan, picked up by the Nesson microphones yesterday, and now suspended for a couple days. Obviously, it's a disturbing incident. And as I was saying earlier, I want to believe this is a guy who's figured things out, and certainly on the field, he's done that. But to me, that's not a word you toss out there on a whim. That's a word that, if you say it, is part of your regular vocabulary. So that makes me wonder if this guy is the role model that Alex Cora wants us to believe he is. Coming on the heels of reading Pete Abraham yesterday talking about the fact that he's had to take off the white wristbands that he wears, and the league also not happy apparently that he writes expletives on those.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The first time you get caught is probably not the first time you've done something, right? Mm. I think that's the sort of the normal way to look at it. he has seems to have made a lot of personal growth. You did not hear good things about him when he was coming up in the minor leagues for the way he dealt with people, and he's talked about his his issues with mental health, and I think he's probably helped a lot of people that way. But you look at what happened yesterday, and just kind of throwing that word around casually, it tells you he's probably got a lot more growing to do. He talked today to the media and seemed genuinely apologetic. Maybe he has learned something from this, but I think the two-game suspension is fitting because it's what Kevin Pillar got with the Blue Jays for something similar. And it also kind of hits Duran a little bit personally because he's got this consecutive game streak this year that was kind of important to him. And, he blew his chance at that of playing every game. So I think that's probably the right way for the Red Sox to handle this.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Patriots got that first preseason game in the books. They'll play the Eagles this week. We didn't see much of either Drake May or Jacoby Brissett. And, of course, that's got the experts in Boston convinced that it's the Joe Milton era here. It's a whole new time at Patriots football.
Yeah, the experts that they like to stir things up for the sake of clicks, I guess. But I was saying earlier to somebody today, I wish with the Joe Milton stuff, as fun as he is to watch and doing his somersaults in practice and just his laser rocket arm, as Peyton Manning used to say, and the things that he does well, I feel like some of the reporters aren't being diligent in addressing why he's not a future superstar, which is he throws everything 95 miles an hour. You remember when Drew Bledsoe, even when he was a great quarterback for the Patriots, he would bounce the pass in the flat to Kevin Falk once in a while or would look super awkward. Joe Milton doesn't have that in his repertoire. He can throw the ball downfield, but he's not that accurate, and he doesn't play with any finesse. And so he's a long-term project who's 2.5 years older than Drake May, who's a more polished quarterback. Doesn't quite have the same arm, but even with the things he needs to develop in his game, he's quite a bit ahead of Joe Milton in being ready to be an NFL quarterback. But, you know, he puts up those highlights in preseason games, and, people have column inches and airtime to fill, and that's a pretty fun way to do it.
Folks decided to experiment, as they often do in preseason, with the broadcast, and you wrote about it over the weekend. It was maybe just too many voices with the McCourty twins and Scott Zolak all trying to step on each other, like poor Bob Soucy was trying to do the play-by-play, and they were all stomping on him.
Yeah, well, they made the decision, the Patriots, Kraft Media, made the decision to not go with play-by-play voice on these two preseason games that they have. The third one's national, but this Philadelphia one is also local, Channel 4 in Boston. And just to kind of do that Manning cast type of thing, the conversation type of thing, because they're thinking Matt Smith, who's the executive producer for these broadcasts, works for the Patriots. People don't really want, like, play-by-play during the preseason. Well, that's probably true, but they want it to a degree where you're identifying who the player is, especially if they don't know who it is and they're making a good play. Like, who is that guy? Who's the guy who caught Joe Milton's touchdown pass? I want to know that. And they decided, because the McCourtys are so good together, and they did that McCourty cast last year as an alternate broadcast, it was really got good reviews and was really good because Devin and Jason are really good, that they thought they would try this conversational thing during preseason, and just really doesn't work. Too many voices. There are five voices on this, and you're watching the game, and they're talking over the referees announcing what a penalty is or something like that. It's just too casual. People want a little bit more convention, even in preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the alternate casts. I enjoy those, but there are times, especially early in the season, as you mentioned, when you're not sure who's out there, when it's nice to know who's actually playing in the game. Speaking of the broadcast side of things, big news. Finally, the Bruins have a new play-by-play voice, and I think a solid choice and a very familiar voice for Bees fans.
Yeah, Judd Surratt, I had heard that he was a finalist on the day of the announcement. and that they were considering someone else, Tyler Murray, who's done some fill-in on the Red Sox this year, was a name in the mix. I also know that they brought in, Jack Michaels from the Edmonton Oilers, who, according to my hockey, I asked Kevin DuPont, Matt Porter, and Jim McBride, our hockey guys, in more than I do, and he said he's really well-liked in Edmonton, really good guy, good play-by-play guy. They brought him in. I think he got wind of the money and decided to stay in Edmonton. So I don't know if Judd was the first choice, but he's certainly a good choice. He's been here 7 years on the radio. He's known in the market. He's got a long relationship with Andy Brickley. He's still the color analyst. They go back 30 years to when Brickley was still a player. So should be a pretty seamless transition. And also has the blessing of Jack Edwards, which is cool. Jack likes Judd a lot. So I think it's going to work out pretty well for Nesson.
And, of course, that opens up the radio job. Who are you hearing might be someone who has a shot at that?
Yeah, they're opening it up. Last time they did that, when they hired Judd Surratt, they got over 200 applicants and didn't make the hire until right before the season opened in October. Then Dave Gosher left for Las Vegas job, where he still is. And Dave was a great broadcaster. He left in August, so the timeline now is pretty similar to what it is last time they had to go through this. The program director at 98.5 The Sports Hub, Rick Radzik, produced Bruins telecasts, radio broadcasts, going back to WBZ days in the early 90s. So he hired Bob Beers. He hired Andy Brickley, Barry Peterson, Dave Gosher. So he's got a lot of history of bringing in the right people and making good decisions. So they're opening it up. I think people in Boston would like to see Ryan Johnson get it, who's a fill-in on the morning show on 98.5 The Sports Hub as a weekend show. Long AHL background, has filled in on some Bruins as a hockey broadcaster. Really well-liked in the market. And it wouldn't shock me if he ultimately ends up with it, but they have posted it, and they're going to get inundated with candidates.
I thought of you last night when the otherwise very solid closing ceremonies of the Olympics turned into the Fallon Five. I'm yelling at the TV, why NBC, why?
Yeah, he, the celebrity culture that NBC is using for the Olympics going forward, and it's going to be at an extreme in L.A. I understand it totally, but they got to make the right decisions. Kelly Clarkson wasn't good on the opening ceremonies, and Fallon's annoying in every single thing he's ever been in, from fever pitch to trying to ruin the Mike Cowbell sketch to fake laughing at every comment, every joke is ever every guest has ever made on Tonight's Show. He's the worst. And if somebody once described him to me as the kid in high school who's sucking up to the popular kids so he can be class president, that's exactly what he is. He makes everything worse. So, great Olympics, spoiled entirely at the end by Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Poor Mike Tirico. I felt badly for him. By the way, great Olympics, and I got to say, he's crazy, but I love the Tom Cruise finish to it all.
Yeah, that was the handoff from Paris to Los Angeles for 2028, and I was a little nervous for him rappelling down the stadium there. That looked like a pretty thin wire to me, but you always hear he does all his stunts, and he certainly didn't look rattled doing that.
He's almost my age. What is he thinking? Tom, my goodness, be careful out there. Chad
Finn.
Well,
my wife looked it up, and she looked up how old he was. She's like, oh, he's 55, 56. I said, he's not 1 or 2 years older than me. I've been watching him since I was like in ninth grade. So, he's 62, which is remarkable. He looks, obviously, everybody in Hollywood looks better than they are at their age. But he looks really good and pretty spry on that motorcycle and everything.
Speaking of people who've aged well, so I had a question for you. Are you 6'4"? Is that right?
You saw that high school roster.
I did.
Morris High, 1988. But I wasn't. My coach measured me from the top of my hair after I took my wool hat off. So he looks at me and says, 6'4". That's what it is. I'm 6'2 and shrinking.
All right, that's what I'm saying. I looked at that and I thought, we used to call it program height.
I think it was validating putting me at center. But the funny thing is, a couple of my teammates, one of my teammates was John Conley, who's right up there as the most highly recruited main player before Cooper Flagg. You know, Duke was interested. He ended up going to Dartmouth, but it was like down to Dartmouth and Stanford. He was listed as 6'5 or 6'6, I think, but he was taller than that. He was like 6'7 at least.
I'm done with Cooper Flagg. They were shooting apparently a New Balance commercial in my neighborhood last Friday, and they had been looking for a house with a basketball hoop. I've got one right on the garage, old school. None of these portable out in the street things. But did Cooper Flagg, New Balance choose me? No. I had to drive up the street to see the crowd.
To a post out front or something.
Well, that's what I should have done. If I'd done that, it would, make it look like French Lick circa 1977.
That's right. One of those old Converse ads.
Right.
I got to say, I was really happy to see those guys, Cooper and Ace, in the pit. I probably spent more time in the pit playing pickup ball when I was a U-Maine than I did in classrooms. So that was really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know some youngsters who were there who, had a time of their life that they'll never forget. So if they're doing it right, I will say that about both Cooper and Ace. Chad, always good to talk with you. Thanks for helping me get my bearings here again. First day back from vacation. We'll catch you soon.
Just like riding a bike, right?
That's it. Thanks, Chad.
See ya.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.